School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. I'm excited today to have Becca Latham in with me. She is a friend, goes back to, 2018, Inspra at Anaheim, when we ate in the same restaurant four nights in a row. I think we went to a vendor event, and the only way we could get in is if we had passes, and we ended up having a married couple's pass. You remember that?
It's for the night.
We were married that night. That was interesting. It was funny. Well, I think it's cool that we have been friends for that long, but ever since DC, it feels like we've had some sort of interaction in our little group, if not daily, almost at least once, twice, three times a week. So, I mean, we've shared some major moments in that group with Abby recently getting married, Adam getting cats, you getting your master's degree, all sorts of stuff have gone on in that group. So thanks for being here. Thanks for coming in and chatting a little bit and just hanging out with me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
So we're just going to start off with the first question we always ask everybody. And yours is kind of an interesting journey to school PR and then out of school PR, then back to school PR. So talk to me a little bit about how you became the chief communications officer for District 15 there in Illinois.
Sure. So I do have a very unique pathway to getting where I am today. I was always, I was that student that didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I had always loved true crime. So I started off in college and I thought, well, I like true crime. So criminal justice makes the most sense as a major to do for the rest of your life. And after I got started there, I very quickly realized that that's not, it's an interest of mine, but maybe not my forever job. So I had quickly adjusted to the public relations major. And after college, I moved out to California. And while I was in California, I had gotten a job with the American Cancer Society. So my family, I grew up doing Relay for Life for various family members. And when the position opened up, I thought to myself, okay, I'm a new grad. You know, I am looking for a job and I know Relay for Life. I grew up doing it. So I did, I was a Relay for Life community manager for a year out in California. And when I moved back home, I was looking for a new start, new position. And the position of public relations and communications manager for Forest Park School District, just outside of the city of Chicago, was open. And so I started there. They're a district about 800 students. And I was there for about 3 years when, while at one of the INSPRA conferences, I made a connection with our friend Kathy Kadigian. And she had actually was moving on at the time to a new position and had recommended me for her position in Deerfield. So after 3 years in Forest Park, I moved over to Deerfield for 2 years. And in that position, it was about 3,000 students. So for me, it was a growth position, which I was very excited about. And just after the pandemic hit, I was hitting 5 years in school PR, and I was wondering if that would be a good time to maybe try something different. And so I took about 8 months and I worked with a public relations agency. It was a remote position that was based out in California. And so for that 8 months during the pandemic, I was actually able to work from home, which I was fortunate enough to be able to do. And after a little bit of time there, I was really missing my school PR friends. And not that we didn't talk throughout that time frame, but I was missing that community and my people and the position. And My current position of Chief Communications Officer for Palatine School District opened up, and I applied, and I've been there since March.
Well, awesome. So that is an interesting journey to where you are now. We were all very excited when you came back because, I mean, we were jealous when you left a little bit. Some of us were like, man, that'd be great to do the agency life. And then you talked about how awesome it was, but then you talked about how much you missed us and basically just the five people in our text group. But,
well, of course,
I mean, everybody else. But so that's a good lead into what we talked about before we decided to do this episode together, was that, like, you being in school PR, and then leaving and going to, you know, the private sector, going to the agency life, working with a bunch of different clients, and then coming back to school PR, plus your work with nonprofits. You had an opportunity to kind of see marketing and communications from a different side and see it from a different angle. And I'm curious just to talk to you and kind of pick your brain and think, see what you learned during that 8 months that you've brought back to school PR with you, and kind of just the different tactics and things that you think transfer over well from the private sector to what we do in school PR.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little bit more background about the PR agency that I was working for. I always explained it as, you know, we would have a variety of clients that we would work with. And if you think of kind of the people who go on Shark Tank, they have a brand, they have a product. It's established. They are kind of getting going and they're getting sales, and they're just kind of in that beginning where they need that additional push. They need that support in order to be able to market their product. And so that's where we come in. We had a lot of new clients. I worked with some veteran clients as well, which was very exciting. And so we would come in and we would help support them in getting them media presence. So whether that be a BuzzFeed article, that was always a big win. We had products within the company that were featured on the Today Show, Good Morning America, things of that nature. So whether it be on a listicle of here's the best Christmas gifts to get your dad this year, or here are the best fall activities that you can incorporate while staying home, different things like that. We would help get their products featured in those types of advertisements. So, you know, comparing it to school PR is very different, but what was very comparable was, you know, in school PR, we wear a lot of hats, right? So we are the marketer, we're the PR person, the spokesperson, we're the writer, videographer, photographer, all of that good stuff. And in the PR agency, it was a little bit more tailored to specifically that marketing piece. But because I had multiple clients at one time, you really had to know how to multitask and work on different products and work on different projects all at the same time. So that was a big piece where, thanks to my school PR experience, I was kind of able to juggle a lot of things happening at once. And also through my experience in my other positions, kind of learning how to work with different types of people. So each of my clients that I worked with had a different level of experience. Some of them were, you know, in business. Some of them were stay-at-home parents and they had this big idea and they were really excited about it. And so really just working to meet them where they are, which I think we do a lot in our jobs in school PR too. I think in our positions, we're not only working with staff that are within our district and kind of trying to figure out how we can meet them where they are and figure out how we can help get their messaging out there. But also, especially today, I think we're really, at least for me, with the climate and the culture and everything going on right now, we're really having to learn to kind of meet people where they are and try and take a step back and listen to people and their concerns. And, you know, that's always been one of my favorite things about school PR, as a side note. You know, I think it's a people business. And even on a tough day in school PR, at the end of the day, I can still think to myself, we're here supporting students' education, children's education. And at the end of the day, even at the end of a tough day, that's an important task, right? So that was actually one of the biggest things that I was missing in my other job, is I could have had a tough day. And at the end of the day, I just didn't have that passion myself personally for that position. And that's kind of when I knew it might not be the right fit for me. And again, that's just me personally. I was able to support people and kind of helping their dreams come true, which was a unique opportunity. But it also kind of helped me to decipher when I was at that 5-year mark of what I really wanted to do.
Justin and I are so excited to welcome back Class Intercom as our sponsor for season 3 of School PR Happy Hour. Last year, we told you that Class Intercom is a comprehensive social media management tool designed specifically for schools that allows for content creation from an unlimited number of users, including students, in a safe and carefully moderated way. That's true, but did you know that Class Intercom also has a reporting feature and does complete archiving, all for one school-friendly price? To learn more, head to classintercom.com and get started today.
I want to roll back to where you said you talked a little bit about meeting people where they are, yeah, and you know, the current climate and culture and everything that we're working through with COVID-19 and all the other things going on around the country. It's been a tough lesson for a lot of people. I mean, the people that I've talked to here locally in Texas, and then around, you know, you guys and some of the others around the country I talked to, it's been tough because I think this, I mean, I heard one of our principals I was sitting and talking to the other day, he said, Justin, 9 months ago, teachers were heroes. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't find anybody saying any, or I guess probably at this point, it's probably 14 to 16 months ago, right when the pandemic started and school shut down, or they closed, but we kept going. Teachers were heroes. And now across the country, we're seeing where people are going after teachers now for whatever reason. And really kind of shifting our communications has been tough because we've had to, in a sense, change our entire plan because of what could pop up on social media, what could be said, what could happen. And do we want to put a teacher in a position where we made this great video or this great quote card or this great content about them, and the first thing that pops up is negative? You've already got tired teachers that, you know, teachers are going to be leaving. In my opinion, I think we're going to see a teacher shortage huge after this, probably this school year, especially locally here in Texas. But you're seeing people just take off and leave. But we've got these very like tired, volatile, kind of this weird spot where we're at, and trying to meet people where they are. And especially sometimes when we don't agree with them, or when they're so tired they don't want to talk, it's tough. And I'm sure that was tough with your job that you had, where you were dealing with different clients, different products, different knowledges. I mean, different intelligence, things like that. So when you bring that to school PR, and I know y'all are seeing some of the same things we are with COVID protocols and things like that, what is, just like, if you were to give somebody advice on really just stepping back and looking and seeing where the different areas are and just meeting people where they are, like, that's tough for some people. What would be some advice that you would give to somebody in that situation?
Yeah, it is tough. And sometimes, especially today, we may not agree, right? Also, I would like to start off this portion by saying, to me, teachers are still and will always be heroes. I have lived with, I moved into a new place with a friend in May after I'd gotten my job. She's a teacher. My last roommate of 4.5 years, she was a teacher. And I know how hard it is right now for them. And so to any teachers out there who are listening, I just want to take a second to say thank you. And we see you and we appreciate you. Meeting people where they are it's a tough one. And it can be so tough today. But when I have a tough day, I really just try to bring it back to the purpose of my work, right? So I had a tough day today, if I'm going to be honest. And one thing that works for me is taking a walk. So that was kind of my game changer during quarantine, because I was working from home and then I was quarantined at home and I just needed to get out of the house for a bit. So one thing for me is kind of just taking a step, literally taking a step back and taking a step out of the situation, and kind of clearing my head for a second. But I think one of the biggest things for me when I'm trying to meet people where they are is trying to think of it from their perspective, right? So I, and this might be because I'm a chronic overthinker, but I always try to think of kind of what the other person's thinking, what the other person might be feeling in that situation when we're, when they're talking with me. And in some of these situations, I'm going to even go back to, you know, like pre-COVID, right? We have a parent that's upset about something and I go into that conversation and I know it might get a little heated. They're going to be upset. And I try to start off prior to going into that conversation, understanding that they're upset because they care about their child's education, right? So trying to come at it from that angle, I am not a parent yet. And I mean, I have a brother that's 12 years younger, so I have watched him grow up his whole life, but that's not the same. And I understand that, you know, your child's education is so important. And so I try to look at it from their lens. Why would they come in heated? Why would they come in upset? And try to just, you know, look at the conversation from their end. And also, I try to be a good listener. I'm definitely somebody that can talk. I like to say, you know, I have a master's in communication, so I definitely know how to talk. And I try to, which I thought was interesting in a lot of my classes, it's kind of funny, you go into communications classes and they teach you a lot about listening, which I think is interesting. And so I try to be a good listener because a lot of times, especially right now, I think people want to feel heard. And I feel like they want to feel like their opinion matters and they want to feel like they just want to feel heard. I think there's a lot of noise right now and sometimes people just want to feel heard.
We've started with a lot of our projects that we're doing, especially when it's teacher-based. We just launched a campaign where we have a ton of alumni that have come back and taught in our district right now. I'm mm-hmm. talking probably 50 teachers that graduated from our school and have come back to teach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as tired as they are, I mean, my wife works on a campus on the admin team, and hearing her say how tired the teachers are than me seeing, and obviously seeing it at work. Mm-hmm. The last thing a teacher wants is somebody they don't know to walk into their classroom with a camera and be like, "Hey, I'm going to film you teaching."
Right.
Where in a time where you probably already feel completely under a microscope. Yeah. So with our campaigns, we've started doing like pre-visits, like especially me, because I don't know anybody because I'm relatively new in the district. So if I know I'm going to interview a teacher next Tuesday, I'm just going to go sit in her class and hang out with her on Thursday and try to have a conversation with her so she builds a little trust with me so I can see, hey, look, be honest with me. We're like, we've met, we've talked, we have a, you know, we're friends, I guess you could say now.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling it, tell me. I'm not putting you on. I'm not, you know, if you're not ready, you don't want to be on it, we'd love to feature you, but it's up to you. And just having that short 15 to 20 minute interaction with them before the interview, so it's not like, hi, I'm Justin, here's my mm-hmm. camera, talk to it.
Right.
The interviews have gotten a ton better. And yeah. The stories have grown and, you know, they have, you use the line, they want to be heard. Mm-hmm. We just had a teacher email to say, thank you for doing the video. Thank you for talking to me before, because I was so nervous and I didn't know if I wanted to do it because, mm-hmm. you know, we've just had some stuff go on in our district and I didn't know if I wanted to do that. She was like, but it was what I wanted to say. And I said it and you made me sound perfect. Thank you for hearing mm-hmm. me. I was like, oh, we did something good. Look at us. Yeah. So, I think that's important. I also think at the very beginning of that answer, you talked about how if we step back and look at everything, if it all points back to the students, then it's something we should be doing. And it's for the good of the students. That's always something that Julie Thanum always shared when I worked for her. It was, if we're doing what's good for kids, we're doing what's good. Mm-hmm. I think I've said that on the podcast probably 50 times in 2.5 seasons, but mm-hmm. I just appreciate the way you answered that and just the way that, you know, you said, you know, I had a bad day today. You let us know I had a bad day, but I realize in the end of the day, what I'm doing, supporting students, what I'm doing good for students. Mm-hmm. That's one reason that me and Aaron had you on the list to be on the show. I don't know if you've heard earlier in the season, we talked about the first half of the season, we really wanted to load up with cheerleaders. people whose energy and, you know, passion for what they do really shows and really just helps us all in a time where we're tired and we've been working really without summers for about 2.5 years, without vacations probably for most. So that's one reason we wanted to have you on. And I obviously called dibs because of our friendship. So we just wanted to say thank you for being one of those people that we know if we need some encouragement or we need something just to feel a little bit better, we know that you've got our back and you've got everybody's back and we've got your back. But we did want to say thank you for being one of those cheerleaders in school PR.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, I think we all need to cheer for each other right now, right? We all need it.
Oh, absolutely. And that was, we mentioned Abby getting married a couple weeks ago, but David O flew in and we just sat around one night. He met Katie for the first time, my wife, that night. Like, she picked him up from the airport and they went out. But we sat up and talked till 12:30, 1 in the morning, just about how tough jobs are right now, but how if it wasn't for our text message group or if it wasn't for our friends in our individual spruzz, we'd all be gone. Mm-hmm. We all would have been like, yeah, we're good. We're out of here. Yeah. So I put one funny question on there and I'm not going to make you answer it, but who's your favorite member of the Scoot Squad and why is it me? That's a great question. But I do have a question that I want to ask you. I don't know if you heard last episode, but I got these things from a friend of mine who's a big podcaster, and they're called Pod Decks. I just pulled a random card out, and I'm going to ask you the question on the card.
All right, let's hear it.
So if you were in charge of the vending machine at your office, what's the three things you would put in it?
Ooh, that is a fun question. Are we
brunch and brunch and brunch?
Pancakes, waffles. Let's see. If we're going realistic, I'm guessing it's a snack vending machine. I'm not going to do drinks.
Yes.
See, this is where my overthinking comes into play, right? Like, can we just pick three items? I'm going to go with Kit Kats for sure and Reese's. Big on chocolate. My ladies in my office, they know, like, she'll be like, it's 4:00. You haven't come to get chocolate from our desk yet. Like, are you good? They know I'm big on chocolate. If I'm stressed, I need chocolate. So definitely two chocolates, and I'm going to go with barbecue chips for the third. Cause you gotta have something salty in there.
Like the greasy Lay's or the baked ones or like kettle, which one? Like there's a lot of it's types of kettle. Chips. Good. Okay. If you would have said anything else, I'd have kicked you off the show. So next question on that, you said Kit Kat. Are you the type that... Are you the type that breaks them or are you a savage and just bite them?
Oh, obviously I break them. I already told you that I'm an overthinker. I'm for sure type A. So I obviously break them one at a time. I'm not a savage.
Same here. I did have a student one time who opened one, turned it on the side and bit out of the side. And I was like,
that gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
Like, you're perfect for video because you're weird. Like, you're the perfect video kid. Thanks for coming to my class. Yeah. So the final, usually my final question that I ask before the whole how to connect with each other last season and the season before has been about a teacher or somebody that impacted your life. But this year with everything we're all dealing with and how tired we are, I've shifted gears. The final question for this season to my guest is what are you personally doing to take care of yourself and your self-care during this time where we're all super tired?
If I had to pick one thing, it would be hanging out with my friends. I have a group of 8 girlfriends that I've known since 5th grade, one from preschool on. And, you know, we all have stayed close but have had our own lives. And honestly, through quarantine, kind of making each other our core group to hang out with has been one of the biggest blessings for me because I've gotten to see them more in the last almost 2 years. And, you know, just hanging out with friends in general. My friends made fun of me because I had a real stressful week one week and it was the weekend, we're laughing, we're joking around. And I stopped and I said, you know, it feels good to laugh. And they, to this day, make fun of me because they were like, that sounds like the weirdest thing that you can say, but I just had such a stressful week, and it just, I was like laughing to the point I was almost crying, and I was like, it just feels so good to laugh. And just having people around you that are there to lift you up, I think has been one of the biggest things for me. I also started working out in the morning and making sure that I have that time for myself, because a lot of days I don't know what time I'm going to get home. So if I know that I can guarantee that time for myself in the morning, and the working out has been kind of a stress reliever for me, that's been huge too.
Have you bought your Peloton yet? No Peloton?
I have not bought my Peloton yet. My roommate has what she calls a Peloton, and then she uses the Peloton app.
Hey, they've got a 6-month free guest pass right now. If you were,
yes, I heard. I did.
So we made it through 25 minutes without us bringing up the conversation I had with my new best friend today on Twitter. You're a Brene Brown fan.
How have we not brought this up yet? I'm still screaming internally.
I listened to her new episode this morning and just tweeted about it, and I immediately texted you and was like, I'm just going to say it. I was like, oh shit, look at this. Yes. Yeah. And you were like, oh shit, look at that.
Yes.
And then she liked my response to her response. So it's like, we're like legit friends.
I'm really, honestly, you sent that and I thought this is great for me personally, because if you share the podcast and then you tag me in it, maybe I could be friends with her too.
I'll just tag her in it. Hey, we talked about you in this podcast because you talked about me.
If you were listening, Brene Brown, if you were listening, you are everything. You are amazing. You are the queen. We love you so much.
All right, Becca. So how can people get a hold of you if they want to just pick your brain on some of the stuff we've talked about today?
Absolutely. I think the easiest way would be to reach out to me on Twitter. And my handle is Becca Latham 3. So that's BECCALATHAM as in Mary 3. If you like motivational quotes, that's great. If you like brunch food, you can go to my brunch Instagram, which is Becca's Brunch, and check that out.
Hey, and it is, it's a great Instagram. It's one of my favorites because I enjoy brunch food as well. Well, Becca, thank you again for coming on and hanging out with me, and again, just for being who you are in School PR and being a positive light for all of us. We appreciate you, and thanks.
And I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me.
There you have it. I just want to thank Becca one more time for coming on the show and for being such a bright light in our industry. You can follow the show on Twitter at SPR Happy Hour. Aaron, I would love to hear your thoughts on season 3 so far. If you know of someone that you believe would be a great guest for this season, reach out and let us know. Go have a great day, School PR. You are doing important work. And as always, let's try to be a little better at our jobs every day.